Huh? Sis! What the hell?
A female voice, which Ash assumed was Luna, tried to shout over the music.
Clothes! No!
Phelan yelled. The music cut off. Ash heard footsteps rush past them and a door slam shut. Phelan stopped covering his eyes. She scowled down the hallway at a closed door, her face beat red. Phelan's hand went to rub her temple. She closed her eyes and a heavy sigh escaped her. Moments later, a door quietly opened, and a wolfkin who looked like a shorter version of Phelan with freckles meekly walked down the hallway. Her ears were flat, and her tail almost curled under her with how much it drooped.
Hey, sis, I didn't see your text that you were bringing company over.
Phelan's eyes were still closed, and she was rubbing her temple.
Ash, Naomi, this is my little sister Luna, who is apparently a nudist when I'm not home.
The meekness left Luna in a huff, and she crossed her arms and narrowed her eyes at Phelan.
It's not my fault you refuse to get air conditioning. I get hot.
Phelan's eyes popped open, locking on Luna, and she spoke through gritted teeth.
Your bare ass was on my couch.
Luna rolled her eyes, then smiled at Ash and Naomi.
Nice to meet friends of my sister. You must be very patient people.
Luna stared at Ash for a moment before her eyes widened and she paled.
Wait! You're the lightning guys that killed Sarah!
Luna took a few steps back as she locked her eyes on Ash. Her tail was frizzed out and her canine ears pointed straight up as if on high alert. She was so intent on Ash that she never saw the throw pillow coming at her. When it hit, she toppled over to the floor in surprise.
Yes, Luna, he is my boyfriend. I've told you about him a few times if you were paying attention.
Phelan latched onto his arm and leaned against him. He could feel her tail lightly brush up against his leg. Luna pushed the pillow off her and stared up at the ceiling for a moment. She lifted her head and looked at the two of them. She eyed Ash cautiously, but then came to a decision about him and smirked.
I'm so glad you met someone, sis. You were so bummed out when you lost your old boyfriend due to the rift. Good old Woody. You spent a lot of time carving that piece of oak into the shape of a sick, hard...
Phelan had jumped on her sister and tried to smother her with the throw pillow. Her face was crimson red, and she was growling. Muffled peals of laughter escaped through the pillow. Phelan eventually got off her sister when Luna had almost passed out. Not from the pillow, but from the fit of laughter that had overtaken her. After the sisters were done play fighting, they all moved to the living room to set up the new phones.
You need this music app. When it's done downloading, I'll help you pick out some good bands. Don't listen to any of the crap Phelan suggests. My sis can fight, but her taste in music sucks.
Luna had latched on to helping Naomi with her new phone. The two of them were in their own little world, consisting of websites, games, and must-have apps. Naomi just stared wide-eyed at everything. Ash had his new phone set up, and his normal assortments of apps were downloading. Phelan cuddled him on the couch. Her tail rested on his lap, and he was currently running a brush through it, much to Phelan's delight. She had originally been brushing it herself, but appeared to struggle with the task. So Ash offered to do it for her. With how much she was enjoying it, he was now wondering if her struggle was just a ploy to get him to brush her tail. He looked over at one corner of the room with a computer and desk and recognized the wall behind it. Hand-drawn diagrams about magic affinity and an assortment of magic items on shelves decorated it. He had seen this wall hundreds of times. This was the wall that was behind Ember in all her videos. He knew there had been a lull in new content by her, though Phelan had said nothing. He figured it was just due to all that had been going on in their lives recently.
So, when is Ember going to put out her next video?
He asked as he ran the brush along her tail.
Wait! He knows about Ember?
Luna called out. She had a shocked look on her face.
Yes. Phelan narrowed her eyes at Luna.
That's like your biggest secret, sis.
Phelan and I initially connected through Ember. I didn't know Ember was Phelan until she revealed her identity to me, Ash stated.
Huh. I've asked Phelan how she met you, but she only says it's complicated and switches subjects.
Luna looked at her sister, who clung tighter to Ash.
Because I was an asshole to him as Phelan, he started talking to Ember in order to get strong enough to fight me, and as I got to know him as Ember, I fell for him.
Luna's jaw hung open as she looked at Phelan.
Sis, you were trying to pick a fight with the guys that nuked an entire troll clan?
Ash laughed. Your sister mopped the floor with me the first time I met her. He saw Phelan's ears droop, but she didn't say anything. He had already told her to stop apologizing for it.
I've been putting it off. We've been busy lately, but I do have some ideas,
Phelan said, returning back to Ash's question. She bit her lip and looked up at him.
Some of them I would need help with, if you're interested.
Sure, though I don't really have a face for a camera now, with this scar, Ash said as he pointed to the Lichtenberg scar running down the left side of his face.
It makes you look like a badass, honestly,
Luna voiced her opinion.
You're too hard on yourself,
Phelan said, as her fingers reached up and traced the scar on his cheek. Naomi's attention shifted from her phone to Ash and Phelan. Without a word, she left Luna's side and made her way over to the couch, plopping down on the other side of Ash and leaning against him. Her well-endowed chest pressed into his side and started to make Ash's blood run hot. Phelan took a breath that Ash knew meant she was scenting something, and she narrowed her eyes at Naomi. Naomi ignored her and instead showed some of the new apps on her phone to Ash. There was a slight tension in the air, and Ash was wondering how okay Phelan really was with Naomi's plans to insert herself into their love life. He had thoughts about setting some boundaries with the ice salamander so the two of them could get to know each other, and for her to have time to experience other cultures from her own before anything serious happened. She might change her mind about pursuing him once her horizons broaden. Unfortunately, he had neither the time nor an idea of how to breach the subject, which, in his mind, was the equivalent of walking through a field of landmines.
Since Naomi's phone is set up, we should probably make our way to your place. Don't you think, Ash?
Phelan said, never breaking her glare at Naomi. Phelan stood up and dragged a reluctant Naomi to her feet. Ash said his goodbyes to Luna, who seemed to become very meek during their parting. He didn't know if that was because he was in a relationship with her sister, or if she was slightly afraid of him after what happened with the trolls. He hoped it wasn't the latter.
Chapter 18. Ash had his key out and was about to unlock the door when it flung open and Beau greeted him. The orc had a big, dumb grin on his face and started to say some smartass remark, or at least Ash assumed it would have been smartass. He froze and let out a gasp.
Your face!
Beau exclaimed. He reached out and started rubbing his thumb on Ash's cheek, as if he could rub the scar away. Ash batted away his hand and glared at the orc.
Quit it! It's just a scar! Hell, you always told me I looked like a pampered child in orc society because I didn't have enough scars. I figured you would praise me on it or some shit.
Not one on your face! That evil woman you call a mother will see it next time you video call her, and I don't doubt she'll blame me for it.
Ash rolled his eyes. Bo, she's back in the States. Even if she does get pissed and blame you, what is she going to do about it?
The borders are not secure. Not for someone like her,
Bo said with a serious face. That was when Beau finally noticed the two women standing behind Ash.
Oh, hey, Phelan. Who's your friend?
I'm Naomi. Ash is my boyfriend.
Ash's eyes bulged as Phelan's head snapped towards Naomi. He was wondering if Naomi was about to be murdered on his apartment's welcome mat.
Our boyfriend,
Phelan growled. The venom in Phelan's voice didn't seem to register to Beau. The big lug just grinned at Ash and crossed his arms.
You sure have been a busy boy. No wonder you've been ignoring my calls.
Ash sighed and pushed Beau out of the doorway. Move your green ass and let us in. I'll explain what all has happened over the past few days. Jacqueline was in the kitchen by the coffee machine, making a fresh pot. She was wearing a shirt that hung to her knees, and Ash recognized it as one of Beau's. She smiled at Ash and pulled out three more mugs.
Glad to see you're all right, Ash. Beau was very worried about you.
Apparently for nothing. He ran from the trolls that attacked him at the beach into the arms of these two ladies for safety.
Beau chuckled. Jacqueline gave Phelan a nonplus look, and she took a deep breath, much like Phelan does when she's scenting something. A coy smile appeared on Jacqueline's face, which she hid behind a sip of her coffee.
I see. Well, congrats, you two. Glad you were able to work out your differences so well,
Jacqueline said between sips. Beau took a seat on the couch, and Jacqueline came over and joined him. Ash didn't need a beastkin nose to know the two of them were sleeping together.
So, how did you two cross that bridge? No offense, but it wasn't too long ago that Ash was not that fond of you,
Beau said. Jacqueline elbowed Beau and scowled at him. Beau pouted and rubbed where she had hit him. Ash was wondering if he should go into the story or just leave it, as it's complicated, and save it for a later date. Phelan beat him to it, though.
Hello again, viewers. Welcome back to Ember's Study of Magic. I'm your hothead instructor, Ember.
Phelan said the opening for all of Ember's videos and in Ember's voice. She even summoned a small ball of fire in her hand when she said hothead, just like Ember did in all her videos. Beau stared, confused, for a moment, and then his eyes lit up as it all clicked. He burst out into a fit of laughter, and Jacqueline stared at him as if he had gone mad. Beau had been around Ash enough times when he watched Ember to know the opening fairly well.
You're Ember! That had to be a shocker. Oh, that's why you bailed on your date with Ash. He got too close to figuring out who you were. Damn. Does Silver know?
Beau asked between his laughs. Phelan gave a sly smile. She hadn't been the only one with a secret identity.
Yes, she found out at the same time she revealed her identity to me. I'm sure it's safe to tell you, as she won't be masquerading as the Rabbitkin Silver anymore. Now you can just expect Councilwoman Blackthorn to show up as her usual banshee self.
Beau's laughter died and his jaw hung open. He looked around as if expecting them to start laughing and state it was a joke.
Shit. Silver's the Nightmare Queen? Wait! Ash was being trained by the Nightmare Queen?
Beau said, with air quotes around trained.
Hey, what's with the air quotes? She did train me, and still is, I think.
Ash exclaimed. Beau raised an eyebrow at him.
You brought her home one day naked except for your jacket. Also, she was clingy to you and got jealous about Ember constantly. Ember, who's actually a gang leader. Do you just have a thing for dangerous women? What about her?
Beau asked, his eyes darting to Naomi.
I'm just his sworn sword. Oh, I'm also the leader of the Frozen Scales,
Naomi said happily. She pulled the bone sword out of the makeshift sheath, as if to show off the sword part of sworn sword. Beau's eyes locked on the blade.
Wait, Frozen Scales? As in the new gang of lizardkin that moved into the district recently?
Jacqueline asked, wide-eyed.
That's Torrent. isn't it?
Beau said as he gestured at the bone sword.
Yes, it belonged to Sarah, but Ash killed him and gave it to me.
Naomi smiled. Beau stood up and walked to the fridge. He grabbed a case of beer and returned to his seat. He cracked one open. Ash raised an eyebrow.
A little early for that, isn't it?
Beau downed the beer and then opened up another one.
Not when I just learned my best friend took out a troll warlord. I've seen what he could do back on Vaas when I was a mercenary. That sword tore through rank and file with its wind magic.
Phelan's phone chirped. It's Cleo, she said as she read the message.
She wants us to join her for dinner at May's Den tonight. We should probably go clothes shopping for something to wear.
Ash nodded.
Beau, you gonna be okay, man?
Beau finished another beer.
Yeah, just gotta process this all.
Beau sighed.
Where did I go wrong with you? Was it all the femme fatale horror movies? Not enough hugs? Too many hugs.
Ash caught a small smirk on the orc. Dumbass, Ash said with a shake of his head. Beau laughed and shrugged.
Won't lie, it is a lot to take in. Still, you're my best friend.
Ash had one beer with Beau before he and the girls left to shop for tonight, leaving his best friend on a high note. Jacqueline promised to keep the big lug out of trouble, and Phelan agreed to try and do the same with Ash. May paced around her kitchen. It was a nervous habit common to Rabbitkin. Being on the move had kept her ancestors alive when things got stressful. There was no running from tonight, though. Honestly, she should be excited. A council member was coming to dine at her restaurant. Unfortunately, that council member was Cleo fucking Blackthorn, the Nightmare Queen herself. She shuddered at the thought of the stories she had heard of her back on Vaas. She also knew this was not just a social visit to try her establishment. Too many changes have happened in District 114 recently. Something was up. She could feel the eyes of her staff watching her. Not all of them had shown up yet. The ones here were her trusted inner circle, the beating heart of her kitchen, as she would tell them. She had a hard time keeping her cool when she told them who was dining at the restaurant that night. Then Maggie showed up with a story about Phelan and a salamander wielding a giant bone sword throwing a minotaur around like a rag doll at a local store. Maggie's cattail had swished nervously as she told them, especially when she said Phelan had given the store owner the card of Councilwoman Blackthorn and said she would cover any damages. Had Phelan finally caught the attention of the council? District 114 was fairly small and should be below the interest of most of the council members. After all, Phelan had operated as the district boss without council backing for years. Still, there were recent changes that didn't make sense, like the large group of lizardkin that had moved in recently. Members of their Frozen Scales gang had already stopped a few fights and pickpockets around town. So far, they had not clashed with Phelan's new 114 pack.
Jesse, you dated an elf that worked at a coffee shop in District 1. Send a message to see if she's heard any rumors about the Nightmare Queen.
May was grasping at straws, but maybe she would get lucky. Jesse made a face that told her his relationship with the elf might have turned sour. He grimaced and his canine ears went flat. Still, he took out his phone and typed a message. There were a few exchanges, and he shifted in his seat uncomfortably. The elf must have had a few choice words for him. Finally, his ears shot up and his eyes widened.
Yes, chef, there are some rumors, he gulped.
May felt her blood run cold as the wolfkin stared at his phone.
Go on! What are the rumors?
Jesse grimaced.
Apparently, the Nightmare Queen ordered the extermination of the warriors of a troll clan. Not sure what they did to piss her off. Sent in some powerhouse who massacred them all in one night. No one knows much about the powerhouse except they used lightning magic. And a lot of it. Some are even referring to the person as the Storm.
Yeah, this was bad.
May felt her hair start to rise and her leg twitched, demanding she get the hell out of there.
I can't go out there!
Sarah cried. May's attention snapped to her head waitress. Sarah was a satyress. Her instincts were the same as May's, that of prey. She held one of the serving trays in front of her as if it were a shield and trembled. Her eyes were unfocused, and May knew she was thinking of all the ways tonight could go horribly wrong. As the normal waitress for VIPs, she would be one of the first staff they would interact with, their first target. May approached the frightened satyress and put her hands on her shoulders.
You won't be out there, Sarah. None of you will.
May could hardly believe the words were coming out of her mouth. Her instincts kept yelling at her to shut up.
My name is on the restaurant sign. I will be their server. If they have any issues, I will deal with it.
Sarah dropped the serving tray and threw her arms around her in a hug.
Oh, thank you, boss.
The rest of the staff looked at her with respect. Not for the first time, but it always felt odd to her. Several of her staff were predators, at least by their instincts. She would never have thought a wolfkin would look at a rabbitkin with respect back on Voss.
All right, make preparations. We only have a few hours, people.
Sarah rushed into the kitchen a few hours later. They were on the back end of the dinner rush, and the kitchen was in orderly chaos as meals were prepared.
Chef, Phelan just entered with a group of people,
she said. The kitchen went silent, except for the sound of cooking food. May frowned at the sudden pause in work.
Back to work! Maggie, you're head chef while I'm out!
May took her apron off and did a quick check of her hair in the reflection of one of the hanging pots, then made her way to the kitchen doors. She stopped briefly, snagged a bottle of wine from the rack, popped the cork, and took a deep swig. She passed the bottle to Sarah before walking out onto the dining room floor. Phelan stood at the entrance. She wore a black jacket and a stone gray dress. Her arm was entwined around the right arm of a man standing beside her. Behind her stood a few beastkins that May believed were the new captains of the 114 pack. A salamander woman clung to the left arm of the man. She wore a light blue fur-lined jacket that should have been too warm for the season, though, given how it matched the blue of the few scales that dotted her face and covered her long tail, she was most likely an ice or water variant, and the heat wouldn't bother her. She wore a long sword sheathed on her back, the handle visible over her shoulder. May thought it would be difficult to draw such a large blade, but the sheath was most likely magic and aided in drawing it. Behind the salamander were several lizardkins wearing suits and jackets. They, too, had swords, though theirs hung from their hips. The captains of the frozen scales, no doubt. The man both women clung to surprised May. He was human. He wore a black dress shirt and slacks with a red tie. It fit him exceptionally well. A long scar was visible on the left side of his face that branched out and snaked down below his collar. It reminded May of a lightning bolt on a stormy night. She gulped at her last thought before plastering on her best fake smile and walking to the podium to greet them.
Welcome to May's Den. I am the owner and the head chef, May. How may I help you?
The human followed her eyes to the armed lizards and gave her a warm smile. A disarming smile. A very dangerous smile.
Sorry about the weapons. They insisted on bringing them.
May cursed herself silently for letting her eyes linger on their blades, not dropping her fake smile.
Not a problem. Protection is important for those in your position.
The human's eyebrow raised for a second before he gave a small nod. His smile never left his face.
We are meeting a friend here. Our reservation should be under the name Cleo Blackthorn.
He said her name so casually. May's long ears could pick up the sound of plates clanking, silverware being dropped, and hushed conversations. Some of the beastkin diners no doubt had heard him as well. Coming in with a group like this, they would be the focus of eavesdroppers.
I'm afraid Councilwoman Blackthorn has not arrived yet. I can show you to your seat while you wait.
He laughed.
Figures. We barely make it a minute before the reservation time, and Cleo is late. That's just like her.
May led them to the VIP seating area. The diners they passed either stared dumbstruck or did their best to avert their eyes and appear small. They soon arrived at a large table tucked away from the main dining area that offered some privacy.
I will return shortly with complimentary wine, a bottle of red and white, the best the house has to offer,
May said with a small bow and tried to make her escape.
Oh, Chef May,
the human said before she had made it four steps. She froze. Her instincts yelled for her to run. She turned and faced the man, doing her best to keep the fake smile on her face.
Thank you for your hospitality.
He wore that disarming smile, the one that made every part of her prey instinct scream. It was the smile a spider would give the fly that flew into its web. She kept her fake smile on and gave a nod of her head before racing towards the kitchen. As she got near, she could see two faces staring out of the windows of the kitchen doors. Maggie and Sarah both watched her approach and quickly moved out of her way. Any other day, May would have scolded the two of them. Instead, she made for the bottle of wine she had opened earlier and took another deep swig of it.
I can't believe Ash is meeting with Councilwoman Blackthorn,
Maggie said excitedly, the fear from earlier gone.
Ash, you know the human?
May asked as she pulled out the most expensive wines they had.
Not personally. He came in a while back and had a date with that redhead Wolfkin streamer who makes videos about magic. He was polite and a decent tipper. Seemed like a sweet guy.
Oh, Amber, I've watched some of her videos and even made a small flame. Just didn't have enough time to dedicate to learning magic. Sarah chimed in.
First Ember and now Phelan. He clearly has a thing for beastkin girls.
Maggie bit her lip and her tail swished in the air. A hand went up to her shirt and popped a few of the buttons, revealing a decent amount of cleavage.
Maybe he would like to play with a kitty next. Chef, I wouldn't mind taking over for you.
May scowled at Maggie as she set up a tray with wine glasses. Sarah spoke before she could lambast the catkin.
You can't be serious,
Sarah said. Maggie smirked at Sarah and threw an arm around her shoulder, pulling the satiress close to her.
Come on, Sarah. Like you're not a little tempted. He's cute and powerful enough to get the attention of the Nightmare Queen. He would probably treat a sweet busty satiress like you as a princess, and mercy to anyone who wishes to mess with the Storm's princess.
Maggie gave a toothy smile, showing off her canines, as Sarah blushed. Maggie was getting through to Sarah with her madness. May slammed the bucket of ice on the counter, and not just to help spread the ice in the bucket. The sound snapped Maggie and Sarah's attention toward her.
You could do that. Hell, it might work, May said. Only, how do you think Phelan and the salamander carrying a sword longer than you will react to you making moves on their man? Make no mistake, he is their man. They are both covered in his scent.
May could see the lustful thoughts fleeing the girls and replacing them with a healthy dose of fear. Fear was good. It would keep them from doing stupid shit that could get them killed. She quickly made her way out of the kitchen, carrying the tray with wine glasses and the bottles. Hopefully, she had not been gone too long. Thankfully, there was no negative reaction when she returned, and she quickly started setting up the glasses of wine, pouring what preference each person had. As Maggie had said, Ash was polite and thanked her with that smile as she poured his glass. She was about to make a retreat back into the kitchen with the excuse of getting bread rolls when the doors of the restaurant swung open. Jets of fog shot in and raced around the restaurant as a woman with silver hair and red eyes entered. Gasps of surprise, murmurs, and a few startled screams filled the restaurant. The woman wore a shimmering silver cocktail dress with a white gold necklace. The fog returned to her side and shifted into women with red eyes wearing similar dresses, though not as extravagant. Councilwoman Blackthorne had arrived with her banshee sisters. The councilwoman's eyes locked on where May was standing, and a smile appeared on her face. Once again, May's instincts were screaming at her to run. Chapter 19. Selena sighed as she looked out her window over District 208. She had been confined to the upper floor of their home since she and her father returned from District 1. He had been very distressed when he had returned from speaking with the council, and no matter how much she prodded, he would not tell her anything about what had happened. She was pretty sure her efforts were why her father had restricted her to the upper floor and limited who could see her. In times like these, she wished she had one of those human instruments called a cell phone. Her father and many of his guards had them, and she knew what they could do. Access the mythical internet, something like a great library with oceans worth of knowledge. Even the humans in the Elven Smut novels back on Voss did not have such an extravagant instrument. She often wondered if any of the authors of those books found a rift and discovered humans were more than flights of fantasy. She had certainly been shocked. The humans also had stories of the various races of Voss, and had been surprised by their arrival into this world as well. There was a quiet knock on her bedroom door.
"You may enter,"
Selena called out, never looking away from the window.
"Jeans and a t-shirt? I'd heard the rumors, but never had I thought I would live to see the day, Lady Selena."
Selena smiled and turned to face the speaker. Ella, her personal guard and best friend, bowed towards her just outside the doorway. She had tan skin and light brown hair, which showed off her desert elf heritage.
"You may stand, Ella. As I have said, there are no formalities inside my room. It is my domain, not my father's."
Ella stood and closed the door. Her demeanor changed from that of a dedicated guard to a more relaxed pose as her friend. Ella looked up and down at Selena and smiled.
"Well, you rock the look, Lady Selena."
"Rock the look" was one of those human phrases that Ella had picked up, a positive one from the smile she gave her. The phrases could be strange, and Selena had trouble understanding some of them, but the guards readily absorbed them into their lexicon. The 5 years here had changed more than just the way people spoke, but also their thoughts and ideas. Even her father was not immune to the effects. Selena felt stunted by her lack of exposure to human culture and its strangeness.
"Thank you, Ella. The outfit is a small consolation from my father for confining me to the upper floors. As few would see me in such an outfit, he finally allowed me to have it, though he is still of the opinion it is not suited for a woman to wear, and forbids me from wearing it outside or on the lower floor."
"Well, what do you think of it now that you can finally wear it?"
Selena grinned at Ella.
I got dressed in mere seconds this morning, and without the need for maids. Also, I did not know clothing could be so comfortable or offer such a range of movement. I dread the next time I must wear those dresses.
Ella nodded her head in agreement.
Still surprised you got him to cave on this. Maybe one day he'll even relent on getting you a cell phone.
The day he does is the day I worry he has become ill. Speaking of cell phones, how did your bare-chested fighter do in his match?
Ella's eyes lit up, and she quickly pulled out her cell phone. Selena did not have the same love for the blood sport as Ella, but it was the most promising way to get her to bring out the strange instrument. Quickly, she typed in something and turned the cell phone sideways before handing it to Selena.
The match was great. Mark the Bull was tough, but Jin Killer Wasp kept his distance and eventually found an opening to get the pin.
Selena watched as two human males wearing scandalously little circled each other in a caged ring. Ella had become obsessed with the human blood sport, as had several of the other guards. They would use their cell phones to re-watch the matches and even get into heated discussions about the fights.
Ella, could you get one of the maids to bring me something? I'm a bit peckish.
Ella nodded and made her way to the door.
Keep an eye on Mark's right arm. He almost grabs Jin in the first round,
Ella said as she slipped out the door, closing it behind her. Selena swiped the screen of the cell phone with her fingers. She felt a little bad about taking advantage of her friend like this, and she knew Ella was taking a risk by letting her use her cell phone, even if it was just to watch a blood sport match. Still, this was her best shot at answers. Selena may never have had a cell phone of her own, but she had watched others use theirs like a hawk, as the humans say. She had an understanding of how to navigate the strange instrument. Soon, the fight was no longer on the screen, and she had made her way to the messages. The top one was from the captain of the household guard. Captain Dalton.
King Destry has an important visitor, so keep an eye on the princess.
So, that was why Ella was here. She might be her best friend, but she was still her personal guard, and had a job to do. She brought the fight back on the screen and continued watching. Hopefully, Ella would return soon. Selena forced herself to finish off the tray of meat and cheeses the maids had prepared for her. She did not want Ella to have doubts that she had been hungry. After she returned, Ella kept talking about her MMA, as she called the blood sport. She was excited, as some of the guards were going to get together at a local tavern and view the match there. Ella apologized with sincerity that she could not bring Selena to join them.
Ella, I think I would like to retire to the library and read.
Ella nodded, and the two of them made their way down the hall toward the house's library. The room was lined with bookshelves, and was much the same from when its occupants were humans that once lived here, before the rifts. As such, most of the books were human works, though her father had managed to add several works from Voss. Unknown to her father, Ella had covertly brought in several newer human works of a romantic nature for Selena. Many of them had an elven love interest, and Selena wondered if they were originally Ella's, or if she bought them with Selena in mind.
Ella, I'm a little hot-blooded from watching the human blood sport. Would you mind standing guard at the door and allowing me to read alone?
She needed to keep Ella out of the library for what she had planned, and to keep out any visitors. There would be a fuss if she vanished from a room she was supposed to be in. Ella blushed deeply and looked away from Selena.
Sure, yeah, those fights can make a woman feel hot, she said softly.
Ella fought to keep her eyes from going wide and her jaw from dropping. She had just wanted to convey her desire for privacy, not allude to her reading smutty novels while flicking the bean, as she had heard Ella refer to it once. Still, the results would be the same. Ella might even be more apt to ensure she was left alone. So, to her horror, she smiled and nodded at her personal guard, who was still blushing, before slipping into the library, locking the door behind her. She moved quickly. There was a secret to this room, one only she knew. She had discovered it in a journal of one of the former human owners of the house. The house was once something called a speakeasy, which meant it was an illicit house that served as a tavern. The owner would host book club meetings in the library, and his guests would take a secret passage behind one of the bookcases to a hidden basement that served as the tavern. Selina had discovered, in her investigation of the secret passage, that it went by the room her father used as a study. She had even made a small spy hole that allowed her to view inside the room, but was hidden in the bookshelf. Only by removing the books from the shelves and actively looking would someone notice the small hole in the wall below the upper shelf of the bookcase. The spy hole gave her a direct view of her father's desk and the chair his guest would sit in. Selina quietly approached the spy hole and peered through it into her father's study. The room appeared as it always did. Several animal heads preserved in the human method called taxidermy covered the walls, as did a large painting her father had commissioned. The painting was of their castle, back on Voss. Selina was sure her father had it painted to deal with his homesickness. He was at his large oaken desk, his hand pouring whiskey from the bottle she had given him on his last day of birth celebration. An elven man she did not recognize sat in the chair before his desk, the important guest of her father. Her father poured the whiskey into two glasses and handed one of them to the elf. The elf looked at the drink with distaste, but still took the glass when it was offered to him.
"To Sarah,"
her father said as he downed the glass of whiskey.
"Sarah,"
the elf said as he did the same, with a sour look on his face. Her father set the glass back on his desk. He gave the elf a somber look as his hand wiped his beard, checking for any drops of whiskey that may have escaped.
"Fargo, it would seem our plan for Councilwoman Blackthorn has failed,"
her father said as he tapped his fingers on his desk.
"I provided the potion to paralyze her. You lured her to the ambush location. Sarah was the one who came up with the plan to lock her in the safe and throw it into the sea,"
the elf named Fargo said with a frown.
"Not my fault he relied on his wolfkin lover, Ray, to do the job, and she messed it up."
Selina covered her mouth to muffle her gasp of surprise. Surely this was a jest or something. Her father would not try to betray Councilwoman Blackthorn. Her father shook his head.
"I'm not pointing fingers at whose fault it is that Councilwoman Blackthorn is still alive. I asked you here to figure out a solution to this. She will want my head, and it will not take her long to figure out you were the one who created the paralyzation potion. Then she will come for yours."
Fargo's hand rubbed around his neck, and he grimaced.
"She is back on the council, which means she can't come for us directly. She will have to rely on her vessels,"
Fargo said with false confidence. Her father picked up the glass and rolled it in his hand as if considering whether to refill it or not. After a moment, he did just that and filled the container halfway full of the amber liquid.
"Which brings us back to Sarah's death.
I'm sure you've heard the rumors, even in that small district you call home. Councilwoman Blackthorne's powerful new vassal, the one that supposedly killed Sarah, the one they are calling the Storm, her father said as he took a sip of his whiskey. Fargo shrugged.
Rumors. I don't put much stock in them. Councilwoman Blackthorne is weak right now. She is doing all she can to project power.
You seem confident about that, her father stated with a raised eyebrow.
I am,
Fargo said with a nod.
I had someone bring me a list of the districts that are vassals for Councilwoman Blackthorne. There are only two, District 71 and District 114.
Her father leaned forward, steepling his hands.
District 71 was Sarrow's district. After his death, Councilwoman Blackthorne placed a troll named Raina as the district boss. Sarrow killed her father. I doubt she would be much of a threat. District 114 was the district Sarrow's lover, Ray, lived in. She ran with the district boss, a wolfkin named Phelan.
Her father gave a nod of his head.
You think this Phelan was the one that killed Sarah?
Her father asked.
I do. Ray was subverting the gang from her. She even sold some of those loyal to Phelan to your butcher shop that gathered slaves for Sarah's reagent operation. Sarah told me Phelan found out and killed Ray. He sent some of his men to get revenge for his lover. Phelan killed them and then struck back at Sarah, killing him. She's strong, I don't doubt that. Just not the monster Councilwoman Blackthorne is portraying this rumor called the Storm to be. I have little doubt my pet would be able to handle her.
A smile took over her father's face.
So, that's your plan, then. Send in your pet.
Fargo tapped his chin for a moment, then gestured to his empty glass. Her father responded by filling it with whiskey.
With enough resources, my pet will be able to take out Phelan and any escaped slaves in the district that might tell unflattering stories about us. Once District 114 has been taken care of, we will do the same thing to District 71. This will remove her vassals and leave Councilwoman Blackthorne without any power inside Devas. She will not be able to attack us without the ire of the Council, and it will buy us time to figure out a more permanent solution for her.
Fargo raised his whiskey and took a sip. Her father slapped the desk with the palm of his hand.
It may take a few days, but resources you will have. Anything in particular you need?
Fargo smiled, and he tried to hide it behind his glass.
I do have a few ideas. You know how I love irony. Can you get me the bodies of Sarah and his men?
Selina had heard enough, and quickly made her way out of the secret tunnel and back into the library. She felt tears drip from her cheeks onto her hands as she sealed the tunnel entrance with the bookshelf. She stared at the book before her. She had no clue what it was about or even the title. She had returned from the secret passage and unlocked the door. Now she was pretending to read, as her mind tried to process all of what she had learned. Her father had conspired to murder Councilwoman Blackthorne and the bosses of Districts 114 and 71. He was a slaver. He was far from the kind of man she thought he was. The bile in her stomach started to rise and made her regret eating as much as she had. She stood and paced around the library, hoping it would help settle her anxiety and her stomach. Instead, it did the opposite, and she released the bile on the floor.
"Lady Selina, are you all right? May I enter?"
Ella said through the door.
"Yes, and you may. Unfortunately, I do not believe my meal sat well with me."
She would apologize to the maids later for this embarrassing mess. Ella looked at the bile on the floor only once before she rushed over to her. Ella placed a hand on her forehead.
"You don't feel warm. Do I need to fetch some medicine?"
Selina shook her head.
"No, I think I just need rest. My mind is overstimulated."
Ella smirked.
"I'm sure you overstimulated something."
Selina raised an eyebrow, and Ella's eyes went wide when she realized she had said that out loud. Selina smirked and laughed. She had to force it, but it would be convincing enough that Ella would not be fretting about her offhanded comment.
"Apologies, my lady."
Ella blushed.
Chapter 20. Ash sipped his white wine. He had no idea about what wine was good or what it paired well with. A cold beer was more to his taste. Wine just tasted like punchy grape juice to him, regardless of where it was grown, how long it was aged, or what grapes were used. Still, he didn't have the heart to ask for anything different. For one, the restaurant was giving this to them for free, probably to impress Cleo or something. Secondly, because their host looked like she was about to have a heart attack. She said she was the head chef and owner of the restaurant, so maybe she didn't socialize much with her customers and it made her nervous. He did his best to give her a reassuring smile whenever she was around. A scream broke Ash from his thoughts about wine, and he instinctively pulled on his magic, standing up to fight. Phelan's hand clasped his wrist as if she was afraid he would charge forward.
"Cleo has just arrived. The screams are because her sisters are checking out the place to make sure it's safe."
Ash felt his body start to relax. The screams had flooded his system with adrenaline. Now he could see Cleo standing at the entrance with several women. She looked stunning in her silver dress. Her red eyes were locked on him. She smiled and started making her way towards their table.
"Are you all right, miss?"
Ash heard Jack ask. He turned and saw the lizardkin offering his hand to a trembling May who was sitting on the floor. Her eyes were fixed on Ash. He frowned, wondering why. It was Cleo and her sisters that had made the dramatic entrance. Yet, she sat there trembling and refusing to take her eyes off him.
"Well, Ash, that is a lovely shade of blue, though it doesn't match your tie."
Cleo grinned, her sisters watching him intently. Ash grimaced when he realized why the attention was on him, his scar. He pulled on his magic, so it was probably glowing like a blue neon sign right now. He quickly cut off his flow of magic and retook his seat. Jack helped May to her feet. Her face was a deep red, and he was sure she felt just as embarrassed as him. She said a quick thanks to Jack and made her way to the kitchen.
"You look lovely today, Cleo. Silver suits you well," Ash said.
Cleo took the seat facing Ash at the table. Soon all her sisters were seated as well. And Ash wondered if there was a hierarchy or rank in how they had picked their seats.
"You look very sharp yourself, Ash. Having seen how you normally dress, I take it I have Phelan to thank for you being fashionable for once,"
Cleo said with a smirk aimed at Phelan.
"Took forever to convince him to go shopping for himself, and then he kept trying to find the cheapest thing."
Phelan laughed. Ash scratched his cheek. "Hey, I've got decent clothes. Remember what I wore on our date here?" Both Phelan and Cleo started laughing. Naomi gave him a sympathetic pat. Ash reached for his wine and took a drink.
"Let's get the business out of the way first," Cleo said, once the laughter had died down.
Cleo stapled her fingers and smiled as she leaned back in her chair. Her pose reminded Ash of a supervillain about to announce her diabolical plan.
"I'm vassalizing District 114 and putting you in charge of it."
Ash choked on his wine at her words. The vassalization of the district didn't surprise him. He already assumed that was likely with the financial assistance to the Lizardkins that had chosen to resettle here. Putting him in charge, though, that thought never crossed his mind.
"What? Why me?"
Cleo smiled and held up her index finger.
"First, you are a powerhouse. Even before you got that elemental scar, you have a natural talent for magic. Hell, you even flipped my curse back on me when we first met. I'm sure Phelan considered you a valid threat when the two of you were on less friendly terms."
Phelan frowned but nodded in agreement. Cleo raised another finger after Phelan's acknowledgement.
"Second, you are already the boss of this district. You just haven't realized it yet. The two most powerful gangs in this small district are 114 Pack and Frozen Scales, both of which are loyal to you. Also, you have your own powerhouses in Phelan, Naomi, and Lily, who would tear into any threat against you without hesitation."
Ash started to say something, but Cleo cut him off, raising a third finger.
"Third, you are the best person for the job. I lived with you for a short while and got a good idea of the kind of man you are, Ash. You would strive to improve District 114 and can do it. Given you have a degree in business and the tutelage of your mother, you would improve the district greatly."
Cleo's hand opened up to show her palm when he was about to interrupt her.
"I know you hate business and only got the degree because your mother pushed for it. That still doesn't change the fact that you have the knowledge."
Ash shook his head and looked around the table.
"You seriously think I'm the best person for this?"
"Yes,"
everyone at the table said. Ash sighed and tipped back his wine glass, finishing it off. Naomi and Phelan both smiled at him, and each placed a hand on one of his legs. Jack, Celeste, and Reuben gave a small nod in his direction, reinforcing their agreement. Cleo sipped her wine with a victorious smile. Ash narrowed his eyes at Phelan, who gave him a devious grin. She had been stating all day that Cleo wanted to talk to him, but refused to say why.
"You knew she was going to do this,"
he said with an accusatory glare.
"Knew and fully supported it, same as Naomi and Lily,"
Phelan said with a sip of her wine. Ash knew arguing was pointless. He quickly considered a few things he could do to help improve the district, but soon he was dragged into the conversations around the table. Some of it was about Cleo settling back into her council position. Others were about how Lily would have joined them if she hadn't been banned from the restaurant. However, they did plan to ask May for a carry-out order of her favorite dish and, of course, an extra basket of rolls for her. May returned with the rolls, breaking the conversation. She took orders, and soon everyone was enjoying their meals while conversations picked back up. Phelan and Cleo bantered a little about training him. Cleo even admitted that her hostility towards Ember was because of how well Ash had learned from her, and she had seen the redhead Wolfkin as a rival of sorts. Phelan laughed and brought up their fight on the beach. The table had learned together that Naomi was clueless about wine or alcoholic beverages in general. Apparently, Ice Salamander's culture didn't have any adult beverages. She had gone through a bottle of wine by herself before any of them noticed, and now she was drunkenly snoozing with her head down on the table. Dinner was shortly wrapped up after they had noticed Naomi. Everyone gathered outside of the restaurant to say their goodbyes, Naomi clinging to Ash as he piggybacked her. Her tail wrapped